Tonight, the Predators are hosting a fan appreciation draft party tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena, starting at 4 o'clock until 10 o'clock. So if you're looking for something to do tomorrow night, wear your gold, bring some friends, and head down to Smashville. Take part in the Western Conference Champions Celebration while watching the Predators make their first-round pick, which will be the 30th pick overall in tomorrow's draft in Chicago. Plus, you can write cards, record a video to say thank you. Maybe you can do that to David Poile, congratulate him on winning General Manager of the Year, or send a message to the players, coaches. You can also take part in a public skate, tour the Predators locker room. For more details, go to thegamenashville.com under the events tab. We bring in George Plaster, future Hall of Fame broadcaster, affectionately known as Plasmo. George, what's up?
Darren, how you doing?
Good. Staying dry?
Barely.
I know. Barely is right. It's hard today. I want to ask you real quick. We had Shane Foster in studio in the second hour of the show. We also had Jordan Matthews call in. We had a lot of fun that hour, and D-Mace is going to take part in that event July 1st over at Memorial Gym. He's going to be
I might just be joining you.
Helping the MC, but the MC would be one.
Ooh.
One. Now, hold on a second. I didn't approve of Derek. I'm the MC of this event.
And you know how high my standards are.
So I just wanted to let you know you may have some help on Saturday, July 1st.
That'll be terrific. Derek, I look forward to it.
Me as well.
How cool is that, though? Because Shane Foster, and I told him when he was in here, you know, not only was he an unbelievable basketball player, he's a great human being, and he has decided to live in our city and do great things in our community.
You know, I can remember a Friday, Kevin Stallings and I went to lunch, and he was telling me about this recruit. And he said, we have got to get him to commit this weekend. He said, the big schools haven't figured it out yet. He said, but Kansas is starting to. And I always laugh about that because I've told Shane the story. He is a terrific human being.
On a somber note, I did want to ask you about the news I was reading today about former Vanderbilt basketball star Joe Ford, who's, I guess, come up missing since Monday night. Do you know anything about this?
Yeah, Darren, and I hate to report it. About 2 hours ago, they found Joe. He's dead.
Oh, boy.
They found him somewhere off of I-24, I'm assuming up in Kentucky. Ron Bargatze had called me last night and had laid out for me that he had been missing for, you know, some time, you know, two and a half days now. And I just had a bad feeling when I got off the phone with Coach B that this was not going to have a good ending. I don't pretend to know what happened. I knew Joe a little bit. I know Butch Fear and Jeff Fosnes, who were part of that F troop, better. Joe was the real serious one of the three, just a very steady player. You know, I grew up watching him. Today's kind of a sad day.
For people that don't know, George, maybe you can give the history. For people that might be more new to town, and when you say F troop, every Vanderbilt fan knows exactly who you're talking about. We're talking about an SEC championship team from 1974. Tell people a little details about that team.
Yeah, it was a team that, you know, I grew up watching, as team-oriented as you could ever find. They were the epitome of a team, and they had these three players. I think it was Waxo Green, who was a Tennessean sports writer, who gave them the nickname the F-Troop, and it stuck. And they were just a terrific trio. They led Vandy to an SEC title. Vandy then played. This was when the NCAA tournament was 16 teams, and they played Marquette under Al McGuire that year in the NCAA tournament. and I pretty much snuck out of school, and my mom and dad took me to Tuscaloosa. So, BGA, I'm sorry. I may not have totally told the truth.
And, of course, Jan Van Bredekhoff was a great player on that Vanderbilt team. Maurice Lucas, is that right, George, would have been playing for Marquette at
Maurice
that time?
Maurice Lucas, Earl Tatum, McGuire's son, Allie McGuire, was part of that. This is just, for some of us who can go back a ways, this news is just absolutely shocking.
I believe he was from, Mayfield, Kentucky?
Mayfield, Kentucky, yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. I did not. I had not seen anything on a follow up on that. I just was reading that this morning that he was missing.
Darren, I don't know. I don't know if it's been released or not. Coach Bargatze got with me about 11:15 to let me know, and that's why I know.
Very, very sad. You know, we were talking earlier. Derek Carr has signed a $25 million. Deal per year with the Oakland Raiders. That makes him the highest paid player and quarterback in the league. Andrew Luck makes $24.6 million. Drew Brees, $24.25 million. Kirk Cousins, $23.9 million under the current contract that he's in. Joe Flacco, just over $22 million, $22.1 million. And Aaron Rodgers is right at $22 million, which is crazy. Tom Brady not even mentioned on that list. The reason I'm bringing this up is because the day is coming for the Titans when it's going to be time for that second contract for Mariota in a couple of years. Or I guess after next year will be his fourth year. Not this season, will be his third. The following year will be going into his fourth.
Well, they technically really got
final year.
3 years left before they have to deal, because next year will be his last, and then an option year, and then they have, obviously, they have the franchise tag. They can tag him a year, which they probably end up doing because Taylor Lewan is up to
4 years plus an option.
Yeah.
So they're going to be want to be out in front of this. What do you think is going to be the number for Mariota when it's that time?
Gosh, it may be in the 30s. Marcus, if you're listening, I would really like to be your agent.
Do you need help if you get that job?
I can live on the crumbs. you know, the sky may be the limit on that thing, Darren. Now, he's got to stay healthy. You know, that will be the knock on him right now, is that, you know, he's got to stay healthy for a full year. And a lot more of that is luck, you know, as opposed to anything else, because he certainly has, you know, as good a mobility as any quarterback you listed in that group. But that's the cold, hard reality is, you know, the ability to get that number, that kind of number you just brought up, he's got to stay healthy.
Andrew Luck has been to a conference championship game. Drew Brees has won a Super Bowl. Joe Flacco's won a Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers won a Super Bowl. Kirk Cousins has not. So Kirk Cousins is the only one that really hasn't had huge amounts of success. But for the Redskins standards, he's had pretty much a lot of success. Derek Carr was unable to play in the playoff game last year in their loss to the Texans. You do wonder if Mariota finds a way to have success next year and or this upcoming season, and they win the division and they're playing January football, and let's just say they make a run, he gets any part of that into the equation, then we're really talking about a monster number for him when it's time.
Yes, and then I really want to be his agent.
No question about it. All right, flip this thing over to Derek and Willie when we come back. More with George Plaster on the other side of 3D. I want to talk to you about Cool Springs MD. Dr. Jeffrey Lodge, the board-certified physician, and Daphne Lodge, the registered nurse. They are the dynamic duo that runs Cool Springs MD, and they've been around for over 20 years in business, serving a lot of you, making you healthier, happier, and a more beautiful you, including me. And they do have a team of doctors and nurses and counselors there that will sit down with you and find out, what do they need to address? Is it one thing? Is it multiple things? The good news is if it's multiple things, they can tackle that as well. Weight loss management, perfectly fine. They have a trainer there on site with their own room. They have programs. They can get you headed in the right direction immediately. Natural hormone replacement therapy, not sure what I'm talking about. Well, maybe you've never looked into this, but you also know that something's going on with you. You're not feeling very motivated. You've been really sluggish. You don't even want to work out. You don't want to do anything. that's not like you. Well, there could be something going on there. Or you've been experiencing highs and lows. Talk to them. That could be a real game changer for you. Cosmetic procedures, preventative maintenance, skin rejuvenation, or just your general wellness. They do it all under one state-of-the-art roof. 1642 Westgate Circle, Suite 100 in Brentwood. Right off 65 next to Shogun Restaurant. You're going to walk in there and feel at ease immediately. CoolSpringsMD.com to find out everything you need to know about them on their website. That number to make that appointment like I've done, 690-6600. That's 615-690-6600. Make that appointment and go see the fine folks at Cool Springs MD. What teams will be living on a prayer tonight? NBA draft. Does anybody trust the Sixers?
Yeah.
Not nope. Me.
If I'm somebody, I wouldn't want to go to the Sixers.
Is there light at the end of the tunnel for them?
I don't trust their process.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I wind up twisting an ankle and out for the whole year.
Good luck to Fultz.
Absolutely. Absolutely. George, we had a chance, obviously, to have Shane on early, and we talked about, you know, his process, what his experience like. What was his experience going through that whole NBA thing and getting drafted and whatnot? Fast forward, you look at Luke and what Luke was able to do throughout his career there at Vanderbilt. And this year in particular, I watched him, got a chance to watch him a lot, as you did, his years, all of his years there at Vandy. And he made himself more of a defensive player this year than any other year, and he excelled at it. How do you see this going for Luke? Do you think he gets drafted? And then two, from what you've seen of him and you've covered the sport, you've talked about the sport, how do you think his skill set translate possibly to the NBA?
Man, that is a great question because there are so many variables about him that are up in the air. Big old 7'1 guy who can go out and shoot threes. You're right, at the end of last season, he started to become a real shot-blocking presence that to a level that he had not been before in his years at Vandy. He's not a very good post-up player, and I think he'll get graded down a little bit on that. But Willie, help me with this. I think there's going to be a team that's going to be really intrigued by him just because this is a league that even Patrick Ewing had to learn how to go out and shoot 15 to 17 footers. And, you know, Luke's already got that.
No question.
If a team understands that he really doesn't have a post-up game, then and they can live with that, then, hey, he might really turn some heads.
We were kicking this around with Shane Foster. There's a lot of teams that they don't really have a post-up game. They're not worried about it if people don't post up. It's just less of a part of the game as it used to be. But we talked to Lee Jenkins. We talked to Chris Dortch. I was talking to some Vanderbilt people about this last week. It seems mixed whether he's going to get picked. If you look at the mock drafts, there are some that have him in, some mm-hmm. that don't have him in. So I think it's up in the air whether he gets picked to that or not. But, of course, if he doesn't get picked, it doesn't mean that he wouldn't make a roster. I just think he's got a lot to bring to the table.
Well, here's the bottom line is he's going to have a chance to make an NBA roster. And you raise a good point about what's the importance of the center position. I would make the claim that you could put me at center for Golden State and they'd make the Western Conference Finals. I mean, Zsa Zsa Pachulia is not exactly Wilt Chamberlain. And, you know, They didn't bat an eye. You know, he's a very mediocre journeyman center who played a lot of minutes for them. And, shoot, they didn't miss a beat with him.
George, you know, we're talking about some historical people. Just circling back with you, you reported earlier, and I don't, Darren was just checking. We do not think this has been released yet, but
no.
Joe Ford, the former F Troop member, Vanderbilt basketball player, you say has passed away. Unfortunately, the report was he's been missing. You're always hopeful when you see that,
right,
that there's still a chance that it will turn out all right. That has not been the case. But repeat for people that didn't hear you at noon what you found out.
Well, Coach Bargatze sent me a text telling me that they don't have a lot of details, but that Joe's body was found somewhere just off of I-24 up in Kentucky. And that is about the extent of the details that I've got right now.
And unfortunately, it's been a tough week because, again, as a guy that learned a lot, at least from where I was sitting, about the foundation, the nuts and bolts of the sports community in Nashville, we lost another one earlier this week in Jim Fike, who, if people can go back on the show, they'll remember us talking about him a lot. But just a great person.
Yeah.
A guy that was instrumental sort of behind the scenes working for then Mayor Bredesen in the Metro Parks and Recreation, did a lot of things behind the scenes to help our sports community.
Willie, I went to see him about a month and a half ago, I guess. Well, be closer to a month ago. And I took him the shirt that the Predators gave out, I think, in the first playoff game, which was, I'll sleep when the playoffs are over.
Right.
He was really fired up to get that, and we spent – Jim was a huge Atlanta Braves fan. Maybe the only person that I would grudgingly admit may have been a bigger fan than me. So I'm going to tell you a funny story about him. In 91, I took him to Game 4 of the World Series. Nick Hunter, our beloved Nick Hunter, would get us the tickets through whatever team he had conned into getting tickets. And so that night, as we're driving down, Jim looks at me and he says, "I can die and go to heaven. I'm getting to see my team in a World Series." And it was, it was genuine. It was heartfelt. But there was also a cynical side, or at least there was when I would deal with him, where he'd be all over me. Well, the next year, Nick got us tickets for the divisional playoff series between the Braves and the Pirates, and we were on the top row of the upper deck in the outfield behind the mesh of the foul pole. I mean, we're looking straight into that mesh. Well, the blimp that they were using as part of the telecast comes flying over Atlanta Stadium about the fourth inning. And Jim turns to his wife, Becky, and says, "Becky, see that blimp?" She says, "Yeah." And he says, "Those people up there have a better view of this than we do." And I turned to him and I said, "Wow." I said, "All that sincerity of a year ago is gone away."
He had such a great sense of humor like that. He was one of the best at ribbon. What I really loved about him, too, is not just all this great work he was doing, but like you said, he was a baseball fan, no connection with hockey, really, but he and Becky really did become big Predator fans. You know, they jumped in, they learned about it, and they loved going down there.
Willie, he's just one of my all-time favorites. I am absolutely crushed at what I've heard, because when I went to see him the last time, I really didn't think this is how this was going to turn out. And by the way, kudos to the Tennessean on the article they did on him.
They did a great article.
Man, they did. They captured it really well. I know the sports side of him more than I do the government side, but suffice it to say that guy took less and made more out of what he was given resources-wise for the Metro Parks and Recreations than anybody could imagine. Wonderful human being.
Made his mark on this city for sure. So let's ask a question in his honor here, George, for you as a Braves fan. Mm-hmm. Matt Adams, of course, is crushing the ball, replacing Freddie Freeman, who's been hurt. So the Braves are looking at Freddie Freeman as a third baseman. Do you think that could work?
Willie, I don't have a clue, but it's funny. Jeff Francoeur's become part of their broadcast team. And, I've taken some notes for him on the first couple, three broadcasts that he had. And Sunday I texted him and I said, "Hey, the next game you do, I want you to bring up on the air, what should the Braves do with Matt Adams?" I said, because it's reached a point where it's got to get discussed. Does he have the athletic ability to move to another position, or is this just a dead deal? Well, I never dreamed the answer was that Freddie Freeman would pop up and say, "I'm moving to third." If he pulls this off where he is just halfway decent, that team will have gotten so much better. It's not even funny. I mean, their lineup at that point becomes, you know, a pretty tough lineup where it really hasn't had that over the last couple of years. And then there's Bartolo.
Who's old. And a little heavy.
Yeah, and let's just suffice it to say for right now, that little experiment is not working.
It's not gone well.
Or as Jordan Matthews said earlier today, this guy just looks at a buffet and gets bigger.
Oh, my God. You know, they're always showing these signs of him working out in the off season and sweating. And I don't know. It just doesn't seem to do much.
He should try not working out. Maybe that'll work out better.
And let me also say that the same could be said about me.
Have you, as we wrap this up, have you followed this kind of the latest round of the Vanderbilt rape trial? You know, Brandon Banks was on the stand.
Yeah.
Have you followed it at all?
Oh, yeah. This thing about I was bullied into, it is not going to work. I mean, if that's their defense, God bless them. It's not going to work.
Yeah, we were kind of talking about this more off the air. Kind of feel like they realized the I was drunk defense didn't work, so had to come up with something else.
Right. Once the tapes came out, I don't think there is any defense.
Yeah.
This is. It seems to me this is a you can't defend, you know, case.
And to be honest, I don't know if you caught this part of it. It did grab our attention. It seemed like Banks was throwing Franklin under the bus yesterday.
Yeah, and that has been, you know, for conspiracy theorists, that has always been sort of a deal that we've never quite seen taken to its ending. And, you know, it doesn't seem like anybody has ever said, okay, you've put this out here. Now, what exactly do you mean by this? And, you know, because we don't know. We've had little nuggets, but nothing that you could ever say, oh, wow, or, hey, there's nothing to this. But it keeps popping up, and you do wonder if there's going to come a point where somebody's going to say more.
George, good stuff as always. Appreciate it. Have a great rest of your week. We'll do it again next week.
Darren, you all as well. Willie, have a safe trip to Chicago.
I will. Thank you.
Take care.
George Plaster joins us every Thursday at 1 o'clock, and he just made some news on our show. We'll discuss that and more coming up next on 3D. Sad stuff from George Plaster, who came on with us and put out there that he is hearing that former Vanderbilt basketball player Joe Ford, part of the F Troop, has been found dead, and he's been reported missing since Monday night. And George is saying through his conversations, and one being, did he mention, he said Ron Bargatze, that he didn't have a lot of details, but that Joe Ford's body was found somewhere just off I-24 up in Kentucky. So I haven't seen that anywhere. So we wanted to put that out there because, as far as I can tell, it's still just that he's missing. So, according to George, that is not the case, and that's very sad to hear.
Sad news for sure. And for people that are newer to town, remember college basketball in the 1970s, where, as George mentioned, 16 teams made the tournament, which means you don't win your conference, you're not going to the tournament.
Yeah.
And, of course, what does that mean in the SEC? You had to get past Kentucky if you're going to make the NCAA tournament. So that was not easy to do. So in 1974, Vanderbilt broke through and won the SEC. There was no SEC tournament. So you had to win the regular season. I think they tied with Alabama that year under Sam Newton. And they won the SEC. They got to play Marquette in basically the Sweet 16 in the first round. So that was a very, very memorable Vanderbilt basketball team. Jan Van Bredekhoff and then the F Troop. And Joe Ford, of course, was one of the great players known as the F Troop. So back in the days before Nashville had major league sports, they didn't even have minor league baseball back then. The attraction of Vanderbilt basketball was the attraction sports-wise in the city.
The other part is at the very end, brought up the Brandon Banks, part of the Vanderbilt rape case that's been ongoing this week, and Brandon Banks has been on the witness stand, and he's been using the defense of I was bullied into it. And the other layer to this that I thought was interesting from yesterday's trial was he brought the coaches and then head coach James Franklin into the mix, where he said that they knew about what had happened over the weekend and that they had called for a meeting with the players. Mm-hmm. And that their message to the players, this is according to Brandon Banks, was, and I quote, that we needed to look out for each other and to anchor down.
So I guess the question here is, because obviously from a criminal standpoint, I mean, they can't do anything to Franklin or the university. I guess two things would be the victim. Now hearing that, whoever will be defending her in a civil suit, possibly because now that has come out against Vanderbilt in the program, now that has come out, would that be held as evidence? And then two, would the NCAA now open up an investigation because of what they've heard? Because, you know, from what has come out, Franklin didn't know. He didn't have any, you know, he didn't go to this extent. But now it's coming out that, okay, you knew, and now you're trying to sort of let's protect
not only
one
knew,
another.
Well, yeah. But had a meeting.
Exactly. You had a meeting, let's protect one another. If that is the case, I'm not saying it is, but if that is the case, does the NCAA now open up an investigation?
Well, he's saying that on the stand.
Exactly. So but you still don't know if it's true.
No, right. I'm just saying he's saying this under oath.
Exactly.
You know, so then he would be.
And then it'd be something else,
right?
From basically, a legal standpoint.
So I'm just reading the closing arguments are now concluded. So now it's time for the jury to deliberate. It certainly looks like Brandon Banks is.
Yeah.
I was not. There was nothing about his defense that going. Oh well, maybe. Right. I mean, he's
maybe he no.
I was
no,
bullied no. into it. No,
that's not going to fly. But this happened, of course, 4 years ago. So this was about 3.5 years ago that. When the ensuing investigation was going on, James Franklin, I think, testified that, and I'm not sure when it was. It seemed like it was a year later or something. He was
at Penn State. At Penn State already.
He was on Skype, and he was questioned, and I think rightfully so. The people, the prosecutors in Nashville were focusing on convicting the accused.
So, yeah.
They were not focusing on James Franklin. But from a sports standpoint, it is something that I think people would want to know is what did he know, when did he know it? And there was no evidence that he had seen the tape, knew the details. So knowing something happened is one thing. The allegation, remember, was, you know, had he actually seen the tape and knew details of what had happened? I don't know. But
well, from Banks, from what he said, he didn't say anything about Coach seeing the tape. He just said, well, Coach came in, called me, and
they
said, I know something happened. We are aware something happened the other night, and we all need to band together, anchor down.
And what does – I mean, that would be something that you would want to know more detail. What does that mean?
Exactly.
You're going to anchor down. What's the message there? So is that relevant to where we are today? Not for the purposes of convicting Brandon Banks, but, you know, for how – you know, how you learn from something like this, because that is unfortunately
now,
the culture. We talked to Shane Foster, right? What's the culture a lot of times in situations like this? You buckle down and you protect the program. You cover things up. Baylor, you know, it was another one. And that's just not the right thing. The right thing should be
to say something.
To say something, be proactive about it before
here is the thing.
These things happen.
Then you had the opposite with the story that we heard in Knoxville with the UT football team where he was trying to be proactive, and look what happened.
Okay, here's another.
You still can go to bed knowing you did the right thing, though.
Here's another layer of this. If indeed, and I'm not saying it's going to happen, if indeed, by what Banks said, the NCAA say, you know what, let's really look into this now, because I'm pretty sure someone else is going to listen to that and say, whoa, what's going on? Let me find out a little bit more, whether it's a reporter or someone else. Let me dig a little bit more deeper and see what that means. The person that will feel it is the person in charge right now at Vanderbilt, Derek Mason, because they're not gonna penalize Penn State. They're gonna penalize the program at Vanderbilt. We've seen it happen in every instance. The new coach coming, he has to deal with the aftermath. Now, and I'm not saying it's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know if people will follow up on this or not.
But what I'm saying is, now Coach Mason is there, had nothing to do with it. His players didn't have anything to do with it.
No, now, I don't think there's anybody on campus that was
they
there.
They choose to open up an investigation now because of what was said. And if they find something, they're going to penalize the program. They may penalize Coach Franklin, but they're going to penalize the program too. So there you go.
Time will tell.
Yeah.
One other piece of news being reported from Darren Dreger, who covers the National Hockey League, does it quite well. He said, Nashville is definitely interested in Matt Duchene. However, if the trade asks for a defenseman, the Preds likely aren't a good fit.
Well, let's come back and talk about that. Mm-hmm. Because
this has been brought up last week and this week by us, and I'll tell you, something that I said according to this about this. So we'll discuss this to come back and wrap up today's show. You're listening to 3D, ESPN 102.5 The Game. All right, we had this conversation going into the break, and we said we would follow up on the other side. According to Darren Dreger, who, if you're not familiar with his work, is part of TSN's, he's one of TSN's hockey insiders, does a tremendous job. He's got over a million followers.
He's A-list.
On Twitter. No question. Well-tuned into the league. He said, Nashville, he tweeted out, Nashville is definitely interested in Colorado's Matt Duchene. However, if the trade asks for a defenseman, the Preds likely aren't a good fit. So what does that mean? Okay, if Colorado is asking for top four defensemen, I would say
deal
probably
breaker.
True. Probably true. Duchene's not a good fit. But as we've had this discussion on the show, in fact, even taken calls on it, I have said, I don't hear the magic word. Remember one caller? I said, I still don't hear the magic word. The caller said, I don't know what you're talking about. You haven't mentioned Fabbro. So there's two defensemen in the pipeline that are big-time prospects. Fabbro was one, who was last year's high first-round pick.
Right, and he played collegiately last year at Boston University.
He's what, 19?
Yeah, I think he's 19. The other is another guy that they drafted last year, and I can't remember if he was the second round or third round, but Samuel Girard. And if you were watching training camp, remember Fabbro, basically, he went to college. You didn't get to watch him other than prospect camp, which, by the way, is next Monday.
I was going to say, it's coming up.
And he'll be here, unless he gets traded over the weekend. But Samuel Girard and Dante Fabbro are guys that really look like they fit the mold. Samuel Girard played in some of the preseason games, and I had people telling me he could hold his own right now. He could play in this league right now, which is not out of the realm. You know, back in the day, it was really rare that an 18- or 19-year-old could play, but you're seeing it happen now more. There are more guys that are ready, skill-wise, to make it. So Girard and Fabbro, I think a lot of people think, have a very bright future.
I can't imagine that they're not open to discuss. I mean, David Poile is the GM of the year. He knows to get something, you have to give up something.
Yes.
Now, everybody would understand. They're not giving up one of the top four.
They're not giving up one of those four guys.
And
no.
Colorado should understand that. They're not giving up one of those guys. But if you talk about one of these two guys who are big-time prospects in that position as a defenseman, then I can't imagine. I mean, David Poile knows that he's going to have to do something like that. And it probably would just be a one-for-one. It would be something
else. No, there would
be
other pieces, too.
Whether it's a pick and another player, I mean, you would have to throw other things into the mix. I don't think that should be off the table, right? If you're going to get a guy like Duchene, then you're going to have to give up. And right now, with the age of the top four defensemen, where PK Subban is the elder statesman at 27, they're going to be there. They're going to be intact for a while. So why wouldn't you want to give up one of these guys if you need to address a winger and get a guy like DeShane?
So that, I think, is what David Poile will be trying to sell Joe Sakic on in Colorado. What did we learn from Ray Ferraro in the NHL playoffs? Colorado has got a lot of talented forwards, but they have – so they are the receivers that don't have a quarterback that that can pass them the puck.
That we talked about before, yeah.
And so they have got to have puck-moving defensemen. They don't have enough of them right now. So if I'm David Poile, I'm going to try to sell Joe Sakic on, I'm going to get you a guy that can fit that mold for you for a long time. I'll throw in other pieces. So okay. You can rebuild your team. Your team is going nowhere right
now
with what you've got.
They're not a playoff contender.
Okay, so what is it if we're sitting here talking about, you know, what the Preds could give up to try to get a player and this and that, what they've lost. What is it? Because what it will all fall back to is what does the Predators need moving forward? What do they need to now get over that hump and beat a Pittsburgh team?
DeShane fits that mold,
okay.
I think.
Okay.
He's 26.
So if they don't get him, then what?
Well, then I think they look at other pieces. They need a replacement. They need veteran.
But do they need a person of his talent or – it's great to have his talent. You see what I'm saying? It's great to have his talent.
I don't think you can get it on the free agent market. I don't think you could get it on the free agent market at DeShane's
level.
Uh-huh. At 26 years old.
You might have to wait till next year, right? I mean, next offseason. I don't think there's a guy in the same mold as DeShane that you're going to fill that James.
But they still can get back to the Stanley Cup if they do not get a DeShane.
Oh, I think they will make a move. They will work to try to replace James Neal.
Okay.
During this offseason. It'll be the main focus. So what are other people asking Joe Sakic for? Remember, Joe Sakic doesn't have to trade Matt DeShane this week. I think he would like to if he can get a good return back. So how far are you willing to go? One of those defense prospects, I think, would have to be on the table. You might even throw in another piece, like, I don't know, maybe Anthony Boteto would be a nice addition to their defense. Then maybe there's a draft pick down the road.
A guy for now and a guy for later.
Maybe. I mean, I think you could package three or four different things together to where you've got some pretty good things coming back if you're Colorado, and Nashville still has enough to where they're not wiping the cupboard bare of prospects. They're in win-now mode. Matt DeShane is an asset you could keep for at least 2 years, and then have the control of him to maybe sign him to a long-term deal. So I do think there is real interest there. The question is, philosophically, can Joe Sakic get past not getting one of the top four defensemen in return? Because he's not going to get him.
He's not going to get him. So if he wants there to be real discussion between Nashville and Colorado, he's got to get past the top four defensemen. He's got to think future. They're going to get a high draft pick. They were the worst team in the league last year. They're already building for the future. So why not build for the future, which is future means later. It's not this upcoming season. It's probably not even the season after that. I would say they're in a window where they're saying by year, you know, I know they're not going to say this publicly, but in 3 years we want to be very competitive 3 years. We want to be in the mix of everything. Over the next two seasons, we want to mold and build this young roster. Is that fair to say?
They should be.
Yeah, I mean, so then.
If they're not, I don't know what they're thinking.
So you don't need to be thinking about a guy in the now anyway, right? You would need to be thinking about the future. So you get one of these young, up-and-coming, projections are very, very good defensemen to go along with your high draft picks this year and whatever else you're doing and what other things you already have growing in the system, and then you try to hit the ground running in a couple of seasons, that makes sense. But if you're talking about, you know, Ekholm or Ellis, you know, or Yossi or Subban, I mean, give me a break. It's just not going
to
happen.
I think it comes down to what does Joe Sakic and his scouts, what do they think of Fabro, Girard, to a lesser extent, Alex Carrier, Tony Boteto. Because if there's a package involving those guys, if they like those guys, then maybe there's some interest there.
NBA draft, do you guys think it's going to be trade happy?
Of course.
Yeah, it is. Players going to get traded. I mean, players going to get drafted. Then they're going to put on one hat and then have to show up with another hat.
Somewhere else.
Exactly.
That's going to do it for our show. We'll have lots to discuss tomorrow. Have a great rest of your day. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock.
Bailey, DJ Nashville, I love you.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay.